Our scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 21. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, hey, send those to us. Well, we want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can, remember, do that on the website or the Christ Church app. We're continuing this series, Transformed Life. Who doesn't need a transformed life? I don't know about you, but I need one, a transformed life, and I'm glad that God wants to help. The first week we looked at preparation and commitment, because that's what primes the pump. Last week we talked about prayer. God has living water, life-giving water for us, the water of His Spirit that wells up within us. And prayer is a huge means of helping the living water to flow freely in our lives. When we commit ourselves to regular conversational prayer with God, His living water flows and quenches our thirst. I hope last week's message has stirred your heart to be more consistent and focused in prayer. Today we're talking about the commitment of our presence in worship. Post worship in the chat. When we become part of it, we commit to support the church with our prayers and our presence in worship. Now, some people don't think coming to worship is important, either for them personally or for their church family, but I think they've got it wrong. Being part of the worshiping church is so important. It's the time when the people of God come together and experience that transforming power. But we can't experience it if we're not connecting online or in person. Now, I know there's some pretty standard excuses today, and we'll talk about them in a bit, but I think we often have to be reminded about the important role we play in God's plan for the church. Watch this.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service. To charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
The church is you, plugged in, charged up, living out, and passing on the message of Christ. But the whole process is short-circuited if you're not plugged in, if you're not connected, if you're not here. If we want to give God the opportunity to do all that He wants to do through us, we have to be committed to presence and attendance, what our Transform Life series calls jumping in with both feet. We've got to be committed to God's family, not just dipping a toe in the water, but instead taking the full plunge. Have I told you that I used to play football? I've always appreciated sports and the experience of being on a team. In the church, being on the team is very important too. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all in this together. We are family. The Bible describes the gathering of believers as the community of faith, the family of God, the church. And each of us has to do our part. Let me lift up what it means to be part of a church by supporting it with our presence. First of all and foremost, God wants you and me to be part of His family. Post family in the chat. That's a huge part of God's design and plan. He's created us. He loves us. He desires us to be part of His family. In Ephesians 1:5, Paul says, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His what? Own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And He did this because He wanted to. God's plan has been to adopt us into His family. That's what He wants for us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? That is a great word for our friends. God wants you to be part of His family. He really does. A second truth. The church is God's family on earth. The church is God's family on earth. Let that sink in for a while. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. That is a lofty idea. I'm sure we don't always live up to it, but it's God's vision for the church. We are the members of His family on earth. God's idea, His purpose, His plan for the church is very important. Consider the example of families who meet together regularly. If a family is healthy, the members see one another often. They meet together regularly. It's the same with the church. Let's talk about the priority of worship. It's healthy for us to meet together regularly, to be in worship often, because it creates healthy relationships among us as members of God's family. The psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. There was an old song about that verse that I used to sing. I was glad, very glad, when they came to me and said, let's go to the house of the Lord today. They'll be singing, they'll be preaching, there'll be victory in the house of the Lord today. Love that song. Hey, that's a great attitude. That's the attitude that we should have about going to church and participating. Jesus, He had that attitude. When He went back to Nazareth after He had started His public ministry, a passage in Luke 4:16 says this, on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Did you catch that phrase, as was his custom? Jesus was intentional to be in the place of God for worship. There are some reasons healthy families worship together. There are great reasons for a healthy church family to worship together too. You see, the church is a family, it's a community, just like healthy sports teams come together in order to win the big game. Healthy families come together regularly to strengthen family ties. Healthy congregations come together regularly to develop Christian community. What are some of the things that come from meeting together regularly? Well, we help each other. Each of us needs help, and as a church, we can be that help for one another. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." Again, Ecclesiastes 4, 9, 10, and 12. We can help each other. You know, sometimes in life, I might be on the mountaintop and you might be in the valley. And at times like that, I can reach down and help you up. And then another time, you might be on the mountaintop, and I'm the one in the valley needing help. When one of us is down, the other can pick us up. There's no institution in the world better suited in its mission to help other people and to reach out with love and support than the church, especially when it has passionate, loving, prayerful people who rely on each other for that everyday support. We help each other. Another reason it's good that we meet together regularly is to encourage each other. Post encourage in the chat. We encourage each other. The word encourage literally means to put courage into. Regardless of who you are, there are times when each of us needs encouragement. When the church is a healthy, functioning body, we do just that. Hebrews 10:24 reads, "Think of ways to encourage one another, to outbursts of love and good deeds. And let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming back again is drawing near." I think of the tremendous power of encouragement that is released in our lives each Sunday. As we greet each other, as we talk a bit, as we share about how we're doing, as we build each other up, even in the online chat, we can do that. And none of us ever knows the situation that that person sitting next to us or is there with us in the chat has brought to worship. But we can be an encouragement to them. I don't know how many people have told me over the years they came to worship with a desperate need or a terrible heartache or a difficult situation, and what they experienced during worship was just what they needed. God showed up. On the other hand, when one of us is missing, we all miss out. Your presence is noted by your family members, your fellow members, your friends. And when you're not present in worship or not heard in your class or small group, there's a void. Your presence, your encouragement is missed. Not only do we help encourage each other, but we also teach each other. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you what? Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom." The best teachers are the ones we spend the most time with. The best lessons are not always those taught in front of a class, but are those that are actually experienced together. We teach each other. We learn from each other as we do everyday life together. Our Men's Journey D group met online again recently to help us do life, even online, together. Another reason healthy families meet regularly is to celebrate. We celebrate birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, special occasions. Everyone likes to celebrate. It's fun to get excited about special occasions, joys, and victories in our lives. As a church, as the family of God, we have much to celebrate too. And so, we glory in the mercy and the grace of God and His goodness and His blessings toward us, particularly through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. There is power in coming together regularly for worship. Now, let me talk just a minute about things that keep us from gathering together as members of God's family. These are hindrances, barriers that we have to overcome. One of them is, I'm too busy. Now, if we're too busy to worship, we might just be too busy. I read an interesting story about President James Garfield. Just after he was inaugurated as the President of the United States, someone told him, "We have an important emergency cabinet meeting tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. President Garfield said, "I'm sorry, I already have a meeting tomorrow morning at 10:30. The staffer asked, "What could be more important than a new president meeting with his cabinet?" And Garfield replied, "Every Sunday morning, I have an appointment to worship my Lord and Savior and the God who created me, and I do that at 10:30. Remember Mary and Martha's story in Luke chapter 10. Jesus came to their home, and Martha was busy taking care of all the guests, doing all the household chores, and Mary just sat at Jesus' feet, and she listened to all that he said. And when Martha complained to Jesus about asking him to have Mary help, Jesus said in Luke 10:41, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken away from her." We can be so busy that we miss out on what is really important in life. I know we live in a busy world too. There are so many things that we can be busy with: chores, TV, shopping, social media, surfing the net, sports, gaming. We got more things to be busy about than ever before. But the biblical principle is clear. Only certain things really matter. And we each have choices we make. Another reason some give not to come to worship: "Well, I got my feelings hurt." Well, you know, as long as you have the church, you're going to have people. And as long as you have people, folks are going to get their feelings hurt. But that shouldn't be an excuse. Because if we're willing to jump in with both feet, we're willing to ask for forgiveness and to extend forgiveness. In Colossians 3, Paul said, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." If my feelings have been hurt, rather than sulking or having a pity party, my attitude can be one of dealing with my feelings, confessing them to God, and asking Him to help me to somehow extend grace and forgiveness. Remember, the enemy wants to keep you separated from your family of faith, and he often uses hurt feelings to deter us. Another justification some people use for not being present: "I'm not getting my needs met by the church." Well, let me just say this. Ultimately, the church isn't here to meet your needs. It's not about you or me. In the end, it's about loving God and loving other people. Just as newborn babies eventually grow up and they learn to feed themselves, we believers are supposed to grow up and ultimately become self-feeders who learn and who know what it is to love God and to love others. I can't make you read your Bible. You have to do that. And I can't make you spend time in prayer. You have to do that. We can encourage and inspire and equip you to do it, but you have to learn to practice Christian spiritual disciplines yourself. We were not designed to be spoon-fed beyond infancy. And besides, what we discover is when we get busy loving God and meeting the needs of others, we find that that is when our own needs get met as well. Then some say, hey, I don't need to go to church. I can be a good Christian all by myself. Well, I don't think that's true. If you have a hot coal and you remove it from a fire, remove it from the rest, what's going to happen? One coal over here by itself cannot stay lit. It has to feed off and give fire to the other hot coals. It's the same with us. We don't stay fired up in faith all by ourselves. We need to feed off and to give fire to one another. Thriving Christians don't do very well in isolation. We need one another in the body of Christ, each with our own unique role to play. When you're not here, the whole body misses out. That's why I encourage you to make the commitment to be in worship as often as you can, in person or online. That's what it means, not to just put a toe in the water, but to jump in with both feet. That's the kind of commitment that keeps our church family vibrant, healthy, and strong. Will you help us do that? And will you be that for each other? Let's pray. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Lord, the church is your family here on earth, and the local church is the great hope for the world. Healthy families meet together regularly and don't let excuses keep them away. Lord, increase our resolve to come together as the body of Christ, as commitment primes the pump, and as prayer draws on all the strength and the power that God offers. Our presence in worship and fellowship is vital. We have so much to give and receive. It's amazing what we can do together as the body of Christ. What a bold witness we make when we come together to help, encourage, teach one another, celebrate. Lord, help us to renew our resolve to get beyond just putting a toe in the water every so often, but instead, help us to jump in with both feet. Both feet about being a part of your team, your church, right here. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to talk about it. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or a praise report, you know, I love to hear those. Love to be able to pray about them. We want to hear from you. And thank you again for your generosity. You know, your gifts are helping us to make a difference right here in our community as we try to reach new people for Jesus and care for those He brings us. You can go online, use the app anytime or the website. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus wants you and me to be part of His family, His body on earth, the church. When you and I jump in with both feet, we bless one another and others, and we help our church to be healthy and vibrant and strong. So, let's go for it.
So every morning I go into my family and I say, hey, I'm gonna go out for a jog, but I never do.
You don't?
No, it's a running joke.
We are excited to offer fellowship time for women of CUMC. Our women's brunch will be held November 5th at 10 a.m. All women in the congregation are invited to attend and bring a friend. Please sign up at the Connect Center or on our website.
Our November 2nd First Wednesday is all about John 3:16 mission. John 3:16 has served homeless men, women, and children since 1952. They serve 330 meals per day and distribute as many as 7,000 food baskets annually. Cindy Webster, their volunteer coordinator, will share her incredible testimony. Look for a list of items to bring in the newsletter. First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
Come one, come all to our all-new Fall Family Festival event on Sunday, October 23rd from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Bring the whole family for an afternoon of fun, including inflatables, pie throwing, games, trunks, $1 candy apples, face painting, a cakewalk, and many other activities. Join us in the gym for a chili cheese hot dog or Frito pie meal for just $3 per person.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.